Support for SyncBook Radio comes from listeners like you. Consider helping to make independent productions like SyncBook Radio possible by becoming a donor. Your generous gift helps to keep these unique voices broadcasting and exploring. Details about how you can help can be found at thesyncbook.com/donate. Thanks.
On the floating ship's oceans, I did all my best to smile to your singing eyes and fingers drew me laughing.
Few things have been more beautiful than my notebook on the deist controversy as it fell downward through the waters of the Mediterranean. It dived like a piece of black slate, but opened soon, disclosing leaves of pale green which quivered into blue. Now it had vanished. Now it was a piece of magical India rubber stretching out to infinity. Now it was a book again, but bigger than the book of all knowledge. It grew more fantastic as it reached the bottom, where a puff of sand welcomed it and obscured it from view. But it reappeared, quite sane, though a little tremulous, lying decently open on its back, while unseen fingers fidgeted among its leaves.
The local boatman recounts the tale of a mysterious female god the Christian priest had confined to the sea. Boatman's brother and a young woman, having forgotten to bless themselves before entering the sea, were among the unlucky few to have seen the siren under the water, proving yet another ambivalent experience to the transcendent, but which rendered them new outcasts, prompting them to eventually find each other. The village priest murders the young woman to prevent the couple's child, savior or antichrist, depending on one's perspective, from being born. The boatman's brother flees to America, but the boatman reports that someday a child will be born who will fetch up the siren from the sea, destroy the silence, and save the world. Just as he makes this astonishing prophecy, the whole cave darkens, and there rowed in through its narrow entrance, the returning boat full of chattering tourists. In the blue grotto, as in Plato's cave, the shadows of a mundane reality are powerful enough to obliterate the tantalizing reflected glimpse of a transcendental world. Welcome, I am William Morgan, and you are listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. Weekly conversation with interesting artists and thinkers of our day. You can find us online at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail@42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweet at Sync42 and at SyncBook.
My entire life has been witness to abandonment, dilapidation, and bloated unsustainability. Hello, friends. Doug here on this, our 155th broadcast. Today is Tuesday, the 21st of October, and we find ourselves amid the rubble and decline of southeastern Michigan's auto industry, looking for truth in the trash and discovering discarded material upcycled into art. This morning, we meet the inventor of Goregami, as well as a charter board member of the SyncBook Trust. It is our distinct pleasure for this 42 minutes to finally meet Ben Goray, proprietor of GoRayProductions.com, an art portal comprised of brothers using various media to express various concepts in various forms. Check out their lighter cases, blunt posters, and origami. More information about their work can be found at their website, GoRayProduction.com. And to purchase a piece of Ben's unique work, visit GoRayGami.etsy.com. Ben's work will be featured in the Red Bull Art of Can exhibition this November in Chicago from the 7th through the 16th on the Chase Promenade South in Millennium Park. More information about the event can be found under the Hot Topics tab at redbull.com. We cannot thank Mr. Gore enough for all his support for all things SyncBook, and we are honored to host him today. How are you doing today, Ben?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks, Doug. It's really a pleasure to be on with you guys.
Thank you so much.
I just want to say, one poster.
Yeah, man, I've smoked a lot of blunts in my day. Me and my brother Sam, my homie Jesse. Yeah, we put them back.
That's awesome. How long did it take you to do that piece?
To construct, it took about a week. But I mean, there's 600 blunts in there, so I mean, averaged out, it probably took the decent half of a summer to collect all the bands. I think maybe, I don't know, it was a few years ago at this point. But there's 11 posters total. I mean, that's in print is only one of them. I've got a 3-foot by 3-foot Wu-Tang W and a Lord Quaz and MF Doom combo that kind of go together. Donut I did to commemorate Jay Dilla, and like a peace sign in the middle finger, just as sort of like a bipolar. You know, you can never tell with people that experiment with their minds what you're going to get from them. They're going to be joyful or they're going to be cynical or what. So I kind of did a little bit for both. But the D's the only one in print right now, but cumulatively across the 11 posters, there's probably like 5,000 bands, maybe 6,000. I'm not sure.
Cool.
But I mean, part of why I make art out of it is to just dispel the common, you know, stereotype of like laziness and you know, disinterest and apathy and things. Like I like the transformative nature of repurposing it, because I mean, it has the resonance with the demographic of people that understand blunts and they like blunts. But I mean, I'm a big fan of hip hop culture as well, and I mean, it's a really good synthesis of both of them.
There's something that I found just kind of tooling around on goreproduction.com is this hip hop album.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that something that you guys produced, or, you know, what is that all about?
Yeah. My brother Sam makes music. He does all sorts of different beat tapes and things. He's not very active anymore, unfortunately. I try to encourage him as much as possible, but, I mean, it's kind of when things started. I mean, we've been making art for like a decade plus. I mean, I've been doing it my whole life, but I mean, with the intent to make creations for people, or to try to at least express ourselves. And we started getting into movies, and he started sampling different movie clips and making beats and putting together beat tapes. And he's got probably like 4 or 5 different ones that aren't posted.
What? But,
yeah, that one project, yeah, he took a bunch of, you know, classic Charlie Brown beats from, you know, the Valentine's Day special and the Christmas special and all of them. And, like, it took, like, the best clips of them. And we know a guy named Phantom Chino, Ralph Rogers. He's from Memphis. And, you know, we kind of met in the dawn of the internet days when people were still trying to, you know, just openly collaborate and do different things. And he put Ryan's to Sam's beats, and you got the Chino Brown tape there. But that's just one of probably about a half a dozen different types of different things that he's got put together that are really interesting, actually, I think.
How did you get into Sync?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. I guess it like Sync formally in terms of like the content and like the overall conversation, or like...
Well, here's the question. So, did you find that this is how your brain worked, and when you found this community, it just made sense instantly, or was this something? Yes.
Yes. No. Absolutely. That's okay. That's where I was going with it. Because I mean, that's just the way I can't help but see life any other way, really.
Right.
I mean, there's the intro to Synchronize, that one clip from Waking Life where the guy's talking about like the layers and reality is just like a layers, and then film, you know, you have the layers inside that and the layer, like that's one description of it, of course. But I mean, that's, I've just always seen things as being integrated in, you know, whether somebody intends what they mean to say. I mean, they betray themselves a lot of time in Freudian ways, and whether they know it or not, I mean, that's the beauty of the unconscious. It's just like, there's all sorts of things happening at all times, and it's just the level of integration that a person wants to really put forward to try to understand it. It's like the concept of something falling on deaf ears is like the opposite of it. It's like you can willfully like not listen to it, or but I mean, if you go to the extreme with it, it's like how much do you want it? You can integrate down to like the color of somebody's shirt and something. You know, they probably didn't mean maybe the style of the shirt, like if they're wearing a suit or something. You know, right. Are they wearing a gray suit or a plaid suit, or who's the designer of the suit? Or you just go infinitely deep with it. But that's how I've always seen it, I guess.
Well, so we'll have to talk about like your sinks here soon enough. But what was your entry point into the world of the sink book? Was there something in particular?
The sink book, I heard Alan on Red Ice. I mean, I've been a big fan of Red Ice for a long time. And before that, Coast to Coast and the Alex Jones Show. And like all of that, I mean, it's really interesting trying to trace back when I started like almost exclusively getting into this type of material. But I think it's like around when YouTube started, or around like the Bush-Kerry election, maybe, I don't know. It was just like so evidently proven that it was a controlled reality that we're living in. And starting to look into alternate content, it's like if you find an outlet, they have an angle usually. And you can only take that to one, you know, if you listen to Coast, you know, I'm not knocking anybody or trying to, you know, I think everybody is really doing their best here. But like ghost stories and Bigfoot sightings on Coast to Coast, or Alex Jones takes things in a, you know, the Bilderberg, or maybe there's not even a formal organization, you know, but like if you follow these certain outlets, you kind of have to not limit your perspective, but it's just not. It's just not as integrative as I was thinking through all of these separate issues in my head. And then one day I just heard Alan on Red Ice and tried out Sync Book Press. And it's, you know, Jake Cassie videos, like most people too, got me really inspired. But it's just once you see how the mundane things in your life can be viewed in a different perspective, like the Mario Brothers cartoon or something, it might be billed as like a certain theme or a certain subject, but it's like you can interpret things in a different way. And once you start doing that, like not only do you want to reevaluate the old things that you've consumed, or like your favorite movies or your favorite albums, but like every new thing that comes in your mind. Like, I mean, I can't even watch the news anymore almost, because it drives me crazy. Yeah. And
you know what really bugs me right now is like the election commercials going on right now. The political commercials, they're like the worst. They're so like in your face. Oh my God.
No, in this day and age, I don't think anybody should pay a dime to run a campaign. Like anybody who's trying to sell you on their candidacy is like so far off track at this point. It's blatant just manipulation and pandering. You know, it's as simple as a lawn sign to some people and name recognition. But, I mean, with the internet and different tools of campaigning and things like that, yeah, I mean, when you see a commercial and it's all the doom music, and it's like selected headlines that are just like, you know, it's like what point are they trying to get across except pure manipulation? You don't know these people. It's like, right. Yeah.
So what does this have to do with origami?
No, that's a great question.
Well,
taken
from another point of view too, what does your origami have to do with Detroit, Michigan?
Okay. Well, no, I mean, especially the repurposed origami I do. I mean, I look at it like Detroit is like a repurposed city as a whole at this point. And it's interesting because, I mean, I'm not even, like, I'm right on the western border of the city, like, right across the border in Dearborn Heights. And, like, I'm dramatically tied to the culture here. And everything is just, like, from the job market, you kind of have to do your own thing. And you got to, like, be innovative with the materials that are available to you. And, I mean, the cans are just a perfect extension, or blunt wrappers, if I'm doing it out of like cigarillo wrappers, like anything in our consumer culture that can be transformed it's like I witnessed what happens when a consumer culture is just like abandoned. And it's like there's a lot of people down there, a lot of different groups in the community that are, you know, trying to reclaim Detroit and get things going on down there. Different, you know, bicycle groups or different glass blowers and people that are trying to re-stimulate it in like vacant warehouses, just throw down and, you know, do a whole glass blowing event. And it's like we have resources and we have the infrastructure here, but it's just a little, you got to take it upon yourself and utilize it. There's nobody to really apply to get like sanctioned to do something. You just kind of do things in like guerrilla style.
Yeah, that was funny because there was a time when Alan was. I think he still is. They're just considering moving someplace else. He's been on the East Coast for so long, but I saw that there was some organization that was giving away houses in Detroit to writers.
That very well could be. It sounds like something they might try to do.
I was trying to talk him into that, and he's like, I don't know if I could live in Detroit.
Yeah, it definitely takes a certain type of you have to kind of suspend your faith in civilization.
But then there's also that, I mean, we just spent a month talking about Philip K. Dick, and it seems like, you know, that was his message, that if you're looking for the truth, you know, look no farther than the trash, because there it is.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that's exactly the quintessential point about repurposing the things, because every material is a medium in itself. I mean, there's these designated like art media, but no, it's like if you see something and
it literally becomes the media.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean,
like you have both paper, you do the paper, you do the cans, like the repurposing cans or repurposing wrappers, but you got the paper too. But I'm really curious if like it's possible to do the cans and all the designs that you do the paper. Is that like crazy?
No, I've only got that one design basically out of cans, because the aluminum just won't crease the way I need it to crease to do the other ones.
Oh yeah, because
like that can. There's one that's like kind of triangle faced. It's a some sort of dodecahedron, I think. I'm not even sure on the technicalities of the names of the shapes.
I like ones that are the wiry ones where there's like holes inside the paper. Those are really cool to me.
Oh yeah, those are super cool. But yeah, it just one. There's a lot of bending back over folds in those pieces that it would just snap if I tried it out of aluminum.
I'm wondering how many hours it takes to make one of those geometrical shapes.
I mean, out of paper, it takes about an hour, but out of aluminum, it takes about three. I mean, depending. I mean, some of the shapes that I have fewer of certain shapes listed because they're just too labor intensive and not really worth it at the end of the day. Some take as many as 6 to 8 hours. I mean,
you can toss these things around. I mean, like the shape that you have the cans in, or I mean, the first thing they almost look like wrapping paper, man.
Mhm. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to fall apart accidentally. That's for sure.
I mean, they look very Christmas ornament like.
Oh yeah, Christmas definitely will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That like, if you look at, they're like little ribbons made out of cans as ornaments.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I can see that. That's essentially the modules, because
that's so meta too. The idea that you're gonna take the trash and celebrate this commercialistic holiday with like the detritus of the culture.
Absolutely, no, totally. It does have an undertone of sarcasm in it for sure.
Yeah. Well, then how did you get mixed up with the Red Bull Art of Can exposition?
Just a friend of mine knew that I do art out of cans, and he heard about the contest luckily and posted it on my Facebook, and I just submitted the entry. I mean, it was lucky for me that I already was doing art out of aluminum, so I didn't have to think of an idea of what I wanted to do, or it was just a mechanical, you know, turn in a couple of pieces type process, which was excellent. I really don't know how the other contestants did it.
What do you think? I mean, it would be great if this somehow. I mean, it's funny because for the most part, it sounds like this is just part of your practice to take the things around you and transform them, which is kind of a metaphor for what we do with our lives. But at the same time, it would be great because it seems like it's commercially viable to sell them too at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, and we're getting right into the holiday season here, which is the bread and butter, because, I mean, they're basically just ornaments. They don't have any function to them. That's what, I mean, I'm slightly jealous of my brother Sam's work, because lighter cases, it's got a function, and people can carry them around with them, and they can leave them on the desk if they want, but, I mean, they're mobile, and it's social, it's conversation starters. But, I mean, we both do pretty good around Christmas time when, you know, it's economical. $10 or $20 will get you a tangible item that will basically last forever.
Right. And
yeah.
What is your brother making these lighter cases out of?
Perler beads. Yeah, like that, you know, the bead, fused beads you lay down on a grid and you iron.
Ah.
It's just usually only two-dimensional. Yeah, he's actually got a copyright on doing 3D sculptures out of them.
Yeah, so and the fun thing about it is there's this digital quality because they're pixelated.
Yeah, and that's what I think is a good similarity of both of our work, because my modular origami are individual, you know, incremental modules that assemble, or the blunt posters for that matter. They're just individual bands that tile back up in like a pixelated image, and he does essentially the same thing. So, I mean, there's something to that, I think, in our overall psyche, because we spend basically all our time together. We just sit around on the couch and watch TV and analyze it and just try to, you know, cope with the trauma of everyday life.
I want the Excite Bite fucking Christmas star.
Oh, yeah, man. No, we can make that happen for
That's
you.
That's what Christmas was about, man. Nintendo.
Totally, and that's why it works so well too. I mean, people resonate with these. I mean, these are the new cultural icons, really. People don't really resonate with angels and stars for tree toppers. They're depicting. I mean, they'll do like the Nightmare Before Christmas, and they'll put that up there. I mean,
yeah. No, I think there really is something to what you just said, though. It's interesting the idea that it's like the as above, so below, where you have the macrocosm is, what is that, the Benoit Mandelbrot set, the fractal. Mm. That's what I'm going for. I mean, when I went to Winnipeg and I was in Jake's apartment, some of his earliest artwork when he was trying to express his notion of sync was these strange little drawings where he took all these little stick figures and they created a big stick figure. You know, like, so, like, they were really cool, too. I don't know if he still got them, but it's that same idea where, you know, with your blunt poster, you have kind of, it's the idea of pattern.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm constantly consumed with this individual versus social type identity. Cause I mean, I understand like there's this overall humanity, but then we all individually make it up. And it's like, there's this whole school of thought that you can just do whatever you want with your life. And, you know, it's like, well, it's your individual decisions. But I mean, so much of every individual's decisions interdependent on like, where are we going as a humanity? And I was just trying, like, every one of those blunt bands is like 15 minutes of my life, essentially. And you could add up like the thought process and the conversations that are happening during those sessions. But I mean, the overall intent, like there was always the overall intent to the depictions of those bands are essentially what our experience were over the course of like the 3 years that we were going so heavy on blunts. It's like it's the coherentness of the humanity to the individual instance. Most people might just like throw it in the trash every time and just come back the next day like in this like Groundhog Day type like experience. And I just like consciously was like, okay, this is going to add up. It might take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, but like, this is what I'm going for. And it's what I strive to. I mean, I'm looking for other analogies, like always to run my life like that, really.
Cool.
Well said.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like I heard somebody talking one time, like, cause this is one thing that really consumes me. It was like the difference in the maternal and the paternal, like the matter and the pattern. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar. I don't know who that is. It's a guy in alternate research. I'm really bad. Like, I absorb the concepts and things, but I'm really bad with knowing origins. Like, what, who said what. But like, just the difference in like, you know, like a snowflake or something, like that field that makes it a hexagon exists before the water forms the hexagon. And it's like the matter is falling into a pattern, but it's like two, it's like the male female dichotomy in life. It's like the male female dichotomy of the universe. It's like there's this like electromagnetic thing that allows like a seed to fractally unpack. And it's like, well, all that matter is not in the seed, obviously. It just has the pattern instructions. But like as it takes on the nutrients and drinks the water and, you know, has the fertilizers, like those building blocks fall into the pattern, the pre-existing, like it's like a lattice, I guess, you know. And you can see it in, you know, beehives or whatever, flowers. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I was only bringing it up in the concept of the fractal because I'm always trying to unfold myself as much as possible. And it's like, you can't just arbitrarily make a decision like, oh, all of a sudden tomorrow I'm going to be a brain surgeon or something. It's like there are steps I could be if I wanted to really take the steps and unfold that. But it's like there's a whole order of operations to do it.
Well, let's talk about your patterns then. How does sync manifest in your life? What do you see? You know, what are the kind of threads that you follow?
Oh, man, it's hard to even pull out one example. It's like, what's a relevant example even in my life? I mean, the sync definitely seems to get more intense based on, like, how intense the situation I'm going through is in my life. Like, well, it's like when you really need inspiration or you really need, like, guidance. I don't know if it's like an internal process or where it comes from, but I tend personally to find meaning more, like try to elaborate the meaning more when I'm really like stressed or in a really important situation. I mean, just for instance, I mean, superficially, maybe it's just the first one that comes to mind. I mean, thinking back in like high school and my first sexual experience, really, like it happened on Cinco de Mayo in a hotel room that had a room number 146. And it's like the next day I'm driving, you know, in the back of a car, listening to the radio and, you know, a superficial, you know, cheesy. I mean, go back and listen to it now. It's crazy. Montel Jordan and Master P had a song called, Let's Ride. And like there was a line in it where he actually says 5'5", 146. Ain't nothing but a G-string or something. And I think he's referring to, like, the height and weight of some, like, big stripper or something.
Oh, yeah,
but,
like,
I mean...
body measurements or whatever.
Yeah. But to me, on May 6th, the very following day after a super intense experience in my life, it's like, you know, it's signifiers like that. And they pop up in times when I don't know if I'm, like, just more... like, my heart's more open or my mind's more open, whatever actually, like... finds the will to try to see those things.
How do you deal with the difference between, like, you know, self-sync and then the deeper understanding of conspiracy and stuff? I mean, where do you draw the line?
I think self-sync is the most important, personally, because, I mean, even if we're talking about something big, like a super popular movie or something, it's like, it all resonates with different people, different ways. And I mean, I could see a movie, my favorite movie, even a third or fourth time. And it's like, I'm picking up totally different stuff personally. And which leads me to believe, like, I don't even know what another person is thinking about it at all. And like in politics and, you know, a world event can happen or something, or just like the course of society. And there's going to be so many differing opinions about, like, is this condition we're in even bad? Like, you talk to some people, they might think there's great opportunity and there's all sorts of, like, I don't know. I mean, I only know how I perceive it. And it's like, I think personal think, it's a way you can actually operate your life. And it helps to hear other people talking about their personal thinks and tying it into things that we can all relate to. But more often than not, I look at those bigger things we're relating to and I'm instructed at the differences of how we see them instead of, like, you know, all getting on the same page or anything. I don't know if there's the same page to be gotten onto, really. which is kind of pessimistic, but I mean, at the same time, it's like, if we could all just find solidarity in the experience of, like, trying to find each other, like, trying to find ourselves, and, like, there is not an earnest type of, like, altruistic, like, people with a work ethic trying to make themselves, like, better people in general. If that was the general culture, America and the world would be so great. But, I mean, you can't just assume that people are doing their self-work, and I don't know, like, you can only hold yourself responsible at the end of the day, really. So, I mean, personal things and self-thinks, it's really instructive to me. I don't know.
Are you pessimistic or optimistic?
I'm almost entirely pessimistic. But it depends on what your definition of it is, I guess. Like, I've always had the concept of optimism, like the glass half empty, half full metaphor. It's like the optimist is trapped in that bottom of the glass. Like, you know, the top half, the empty half, that's connected to the whole outside world. You know, you can float in and out of the glass, and you don't know if, you know, what the boundary is. But, like, the optimist, I mean, they're bound in that glass, and to even see in, you see a refracted view. And, I just don't put much faith in, things will turn out for the best. That seems so naive a lot of times. And even when you put your best intentions forward and plan, and there's so many obstacles, the goal is overcoming the obstacles, I guess, but... in terms of, am I optimistic that there's some sort of resolution to our issues? It's like, maybe if the resolution is continual resolution, but I don't ever see it.
Maybe the last stage of evolution happened real fucking quick.
Possible, huh? I mean, I don't know. It's really interesting. Like, I'm wondering what's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back in this whole... economic, political type of we're at the brink of inflation. I don't know how much more we can take with the quantitative easing and just, you know, pumping money into the supply and just
the level of complexity too. I wonder if we haven't reached this point where there's too much to maintain.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I see
so
that in Detroit,
my son had an appendectomy, and the amount of money that costs, like, for what amounts to a simple operation, mm-hmm. that they do all day long every day, mm-hmm. it's just it blows my mind that things are still functioning.
Yeah, man, and it may be the medical field that breaks the back, especially with the whole aging population. Because, I mean, these, and let alone something like Ebola. I mean, you're just talking about routine, regular human health conditions.
Well, you get, the more you'll spread Ebola. So it's like, it's this natural defense mechanism by the earth that it can't, that we can never populate. There's always going to be natural disasters and stuff.
I'm laughing at you, Will.
I'm sorry.
No, I know what you mean, man.
I just love, man. I love the old school feel of all of these magnets and stuff that Sam makes with the mixture between what you're doing. It's just like it's just really cool, man. I guess that we're in the same generation, because seeing this stuff makes me smile. Like the Donkey Kong Christmas shit, that's
yeah, that's awesome. With the different levels and ramps and things, barrels. It's a perfect, like, level setup on a tree. Yeah, but I mean, we just do it like as a meditative. I mean, it keeps us in our thoughts for sure. I mean, it's a lot of quiet time, especially with origami. It takes a lot of precision, even though it's repetitive and it's really mechanical, and you can go on like autopilot pretty easily. But I mean, it keeps you precise in your thoughts, and it doesn't. Your mind really can't wander, especially with aluminum, where you cut yourself real bad. But
that's really interesting in thinking about what Dr. Kripal said last week about a spiritual practice that actually removes your ego so that you can find that state of the transcendent state.
It's huge, especially when listening to this type of content. I mean, there are people out there, I feel, are deliberately trying to deceive and mislead the alternate research community. And there's people that I think are just, you know, they're well-intended, but maybe don't have, I mean, everybody's in a continual discovery state. So it's just like partial. And some people are really on their money. And sometimes I've heard those people before I was ready to hear them. And I went back and re-listened to them, and it really sinks in. But keeping that impartial type of, like, suspended ego while you're doing some sort of artistic practice is definitely helpful. Like, I'll always do this as long as I sit at my desk, at least, because not only does it help pass time, but it's just a really, really good way to stay in a groove instead of just letting your mind float all over the place, which I would definitely have a tendency to do if it wasn't for something like this.
Well, I have my own theories about stories and sync. I'm wondering what kind of music are you listening to these days, and what kind of movies are you watching?
Basically, exclusively hip hop music, I'd say. I mean, more on the instrumental side. Like, I really like Madlib a lot. He's like his own genre of music himself. And then movies, I mean, I try to watch as many like blockbuster, big budget. Like, to try to get as much empathy as I can with people in general. Like, if I bump into somebody, I want to be like, hey, have you seen this? And there's actually a chance they have. Or if it's something classic, it's got to be something that has a relevant type of, like, need to revisit. I just watched The Shining the other day again, which is, I mean, that's, like, classic. But, yeah, anything that is supposed to be part of pop culture, I try to absorb just to understand it, just so I do have like as much ammunition as I can when somebody tries to empathize with me. Like, I don't like, even though I'm like super into hip hop, I'll watch like kids movies, or I'll watch whatever I need to watch in order for when the women around the office start talking about what their kids are into, I have some sort of point of reference. Like, I have nieces and nephews. It's like, there's just, I try to absorb myself in whatever I can, and just try to, the ego suspension while I'm doing the practices honestly helps with that, because there's no persona, overarching persona that's like, oh, you know, I'm too macho for this, or, oh, I'm a hardcore guy, I can't get into that. It's like, no, I get into, you know, some pretty suspect material in the name of just familiarizing myself with it.
Are you geeking out about anything right now?
No, man, not particularly. I know what you mean, totally. I mean, I got with that, like, that over Lost. I mean, that show, I want to rewatch that whole show. I put it down in like 3 weeks one time and just watched the whole series. But nothing like that has really moved me lately. I don't know. It's just really weird. I feel like we're all getting more on the same wavelength or something, though, because more often than not, when I like have a thought, and within the week, somebody will do a program on the same metaphor I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Or I listen to half a radio program and go to lunch and be thinking about, like, I mean, I don't know if it just initiated the whole process for me and I just made my own logical conclusions, but I come back and it's like the exact same thing I just thought out the second half of the program. And it's like, I don't know. We're all trying to say the same thing, essentially. And we're all trying to get at the same, like, archetypal life experiences and, like, how to deal with them and how to cope with them. And I don't know. I think, I mean, how many more metaphors need to be out there for, you know, I don't know. It's the same thing. I don't know. It's like we got to take action now in reality somehow, like in terms of actually like not writing a story, but actually like writing the government so we can live the story and actually, because I'm a big defender of our system of government. I just think we're so disengaged in it that it's been, the vacuum has been filled by, I mean, just psychopathic terrorists. But like, if we would really invest in getting to know, like, block by block our neighbors and our various expertises and who's really, you know, who's really engaged and who really would sacrifice, like, everything just to make the difference. And all these intangible things everybody needs is in every neighborhood. we just got like we're synchronizing here. We got to synchronize in like our norm, like where we're at locally. That's the next obstacle, I think, because otherwise we're saying like, and I love listening to it because it helps to encourage me and it helps to like recommit myself to, okay, you know what, we are kind of all in this together, saying the same thing, trying to get to the same place. But I mean, short of doing that in actual society and making the mechanisms of government and civilization run for us, I mean, we're just going to be in this echo chamber of sorts, like just reiterating it in different ways, but the same essential message.
Okay, Mr. Pessimist, then. Are we going to have an apocalypse and then we have to rebuild from nothing? Or do you think that what you were just saying, that if, I mean, so here you are in what is perceived as a totally broken place, and you've got so much hope, and you're saying we need to reinvest in our social structures that, you know, enliven us.
Yeah. I mean, it'll depend a lot on, like, the financial structure if we adopt a new system or something. Because right now, it's actually, like, totally economically unfeasible to retrofit Detroit, to go in there and all of a sudden try to, you know, like, they rip buildings down systematically, like, by the whole neighborhood and try to clear out, like, big swatches so they can just redevelop. And it's like, if you extrapolate that across the country or across the world, and you look at, I mean, they're in the Middle East. It's supposedly like one of the last types of like frontiers, where it's like blank slates in a lot of places, or just like Bedouin people, which, I mean, not to minimize it, but you know, as opposed to like big industrial cities, it's like relatively starting from scratch. You can build a Dubai up like out of nowhere. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of belief systems in the world that won't even move on into the future without an apocalypse. So whether or not it's like destined or whatever, it doesn't have to happen, but so many people believe it and think that it's like, we're not going to move on without it. And all the symbols in the media, I mean, I don't know if you guys agree, but I mean, there's definitely apocalyptic, like end of days type symbolism, being just like from floods to, you know, pestilence or whatever you want to look at, rumors of wars, whatever.
Rumors of wars. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And there's billions of people, like half the world won't get on without that happening. And it's unfortunate. I'm not going to help manifest it. Like, I'd like to think that we could like, hey, there's another way, but, no, there's structures of like elders and systems of authority that, for political reasons and cultural reasons, you can't even counter what certain authority figures say.
All right, time to play free association.
No, that was 42 minutes, Will.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing it with my baby's crying too.
Let me get in. He'll give a short answer.
All right.
All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Aliens.
Of ourselves.
Oh, good one. Douglas, take us out, man.
My babysitter called in sick today, and my baby is flipping out.
Oh, okay, so I'll read it if it's recording, and then we'll be gone. All right. You've been listening to Ben Gore. It almost sounds like it's like this. It's almost like this freaking mythological hero on 42 Minutes, production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. You can find information about Ben's work at GORAYproduction.com. For more information about the SyncBook, our guest, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you like the podcast, please support it by becoming a donor. You'll find the donation links under each episode on the website and consider setting up a monthly charge. Thanks so much. And you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow.
Spaghetti.
Well done.
no income steady. Having good dreams, then in comes Freddy. Woke up and had to rip them dumb medleys. Looking at them seeds like dim sums ready. I call it Chinese takeout, get some ready. On a roll like seaweed, sushi reference set precedence. My style's never been created. Trying to make it president's residence, heaven sent, but only got about 7 cents. Looking for a fortune, tell her this, I need a fortune. And that isn't hit or miss, magic 8-ball. 10 years been AWOL. You're broke now, your friends, where are they all? You know them cause they call, may call. Need a favor? Man, I ain't straight at all financially, but flow gigantically. Hard times giving me wedgies and pants in me. Big bully, somebody need to answer me. I got a question, I mean I need a question. Somebody answer me, where is my blessing?
Linus, I've made a fool of myself. How can I face that little red-haired girl?
Look at it this way, Charlie. It's better to get bad press than no press at all.
I doubt that, Linus. Look at her up there. I'm going to be her escort, and she doesn't even know I exist.
Wish I had heart hydrocodone. Tolerate you Tylenol, I see you off in your song. I feel like a CFC, you're unwilling ozone. Probably would be easy with handkerchief and chloroform. Lines of dudes for you to see, you DMV, here is me, woe is me. Certainly you see how this uncertainty is hurting me. Curtains please, show is over, no I love her, but the love is me below her. She made me feel slower, not my motion motor. She redirects everything that I told her, and now my world is over, over and out. 10-4, I did not know what I'm in for. A star shootout, other players have been scored. I can't get her attention, then what do I defend for? Send for, message delivery fail. F for mail, this is a chain letter. Guess I need chain mail.